This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I'm glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program encourages you and blesses you and challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. We will take your prayer requests if you will just write to us. And if you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going into a new year with regard to the programs. You've already celebrated the new year, and I trust you've already learned how to write 2019. Many of us thought that we would never get to enjoy a year that was numerically 2019, but we've got here, and we need to thank God that He has blessed us with a long enough and healthy enough life so that we can, in some way, glorify Him during this coming year. Now, my wife and I are going to be spending some time with a small church in Nassau in the Bahamas during the month of January and part of February. So I thought it would be a good time for me to read some of the meditations that I have written over the years to you. They're on my website. I don't know how many of you have gone to the website and read them there, but they're also on Facebook. And so if you're electronically adept, you know how to use Facebook, if you know how to use your internet, you can find these meditations there. And if you would like me to email them to you, all you need to do is go to the website and through the website send me your address, and I'll be happy to email them to you. But I write one every week if I can, and I do this sort of as a self-discipline. I think when we read our Bibles, we need to think about what we are reading, and much of our teaching today is associated with expository teaching where people are telling us what the Bible means. I really believe that we need some of that, but we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit will speak to each of us. We don't want to be so educated that we believe that only an educated person can explain the Bible to us. Now, I believe, of course, in using helps. I believe in using different versions. I believe I usually preach from the New King James or from the King James, but I believe in comparing different versions, and I have word studies, and I do have some commentaries. But for the most part, when I read my Bible, I try to be alone. I may be in a coffee shop, but I try to be alone with my thoughts for a while, and I like to think about what I have read. I like to come away saying, what is God saying to me in this passage? And as a result of that, then I, from time to time, write it down as a meditation just so that I clarify my own thinking on those issues. And when I clarify my own thinking, sometimes I like to pass that along to others. And so when I write these meditations, I'm really not writing them to make people happy with me. I'm not writing them because I'm trying to promote a particular denomination or a particular church. I'm writing them because this is how God is speaking to me, and I hope that when God speaks to me, that when I share that with you, it will speak to you in the same way. In other words, again, I believe that our teaching, for the most part, has to be the teaching of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us, first of all, of our sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and then to guide us in our relationship with the Lord. Now, a year ago on January 7th, I wrote one that I titled Our Crown of Rejoicing, and I based it on Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And that, of course, is what we call the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Now, in the Bible, there are unconditional promises, and the first section of this meditation deals with those unconditional promises. And I write this, it is a whole lot nicer to have the Lord with us than to have him against us. He is angry with the wicked every day. He tells us that in Psalm 7, verse 11. The unbeliever is condemned already. He tells us that in John 3 and verse 18. And I don't know any way that that can be sugar-coated. I don't know any way that we can say that so that it's acceptable to most people. But thank goodness a believer can make mistakes and still know that the Lord is with them. David said that goodness and mercy would follow him all the days of his life in Psalm 23. But he surely made a gross mistake by taking another man's wife and then by murdering her husband to cover up his sin. Abraham was the friend of God, but surely producing Ishmael by Hagar was not an act of faith. Neither was letting Pharaoh in Egypt and Abimelech in the land of the Philistines think that she was his sister and not his wife. This was so that they would not kill him in order to have her as a wife, since she was beautiful. Both took her in their innocence, but the Lord preserved Sarah in both cases. One could wonder if Abraham really loved her, but the Lord was with both of these men. Why was he with them? Apparently it was because of their faithful worship of the Lord. David was a man after, or dear to, God's own heart. We read about this in Acts 13, verse 22. David loved the Lord and never loved other gods. He didn't turn aside to idols like others did. Abraham was called out of idolatry when he was in Ur of the Chaldees and never went back to that worship. He built altars to the Lord by faith and not by sight. When he got the call to leave Haran, which was up in Syria, he left not knowing where he was going. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Believers today are sealed with the Holy Spirit upon believing. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. That's a blessing that we need to accept and understand. They have the Lord in them, so he obviously is with them. But sometimes we hinder fellowship with him by grieving the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is grieved or sad or distressed, it probably seems like the Lord is not with us, even though he is. He just can't control or fill us like he wants to. Ephesians 5 and 18 admonishes us to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have the angels of God serving us according to Hebrews 1 and verse 14. The Lord promises us that with regard to his practical care, he will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Believers are indeed blessed since we are promised the Lord's presence and protecting care. That's unconditional promises that the Lord has given us, but there are conditional promises, and I want to read about those in this next section. While the Lord is with us and not against us, once we are saved or truly worshiping him and only him, there is another practical promise that he has made us. If we make disciples, if we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, if we teach them that the Lord is with us even to the end, if we teach them the commands of the Lord, the will of the Lord then is with us even to the end of the age. So the apostles are not with us now at the end of the age, so that promise must be ours. I think it means that if we do what the Lord has asked us to do, he will use us to effectively spread the gospel. The work will be fruitful. We may not always see the results immediately, but there will be results. He says in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Sometimes it seems like the road is hard and the results are few for those trying to faithfully make disciples, but the Lord has made us a promise, and I believe that what the Lord promises, he will fulfill. So, If we are saved, let us take heart and continue with that business of making disciples. There will be great joy when we meet people in heaven that tell us that they heard the gospel and trusted the Lord through something we did. That will be our crown of rejoicing, the crown of rejoicing that Paul refers to in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. Now, when the Lord left, just before he left, this was the commission he gave his disciples. And many people have tried to put it in other dispensations, and they've tried to explain it away. But I believe the end of the age goes all the way through the tribulation period. But it's this age that the Lord is talking about, the age that we're now living in. And so when he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, that's what he's asking us to do. And many of us will say, but he's not asking me to do that. Well, yes, he is. Now, I try to do that through my meditations. I try to do that through radio work. I try to do that by talking to people when they approach me as to why I'm reading the Bible in coffee shops. I try to do that by the way I live my life, but I'm trying to make disciples of all nations. I remember when I first got saved, it seemed to me that the Lord was asking me to share with others what he had shared with me. I found out that Christ had died for me, that the Bible said it, and that God had given me his word that I was saved. And I trusted in that. And I wanted to tell others how simple it is to be ready to meet God. But it was a good many years before I saw anyone who said they had trusted the Lord because of my testimony or my work. I was saved when I was at the University of Iowa. And then I went and taught at Iowa State University. While I was at Iowa State University, I started a Bible study. And I basically started it for one man who was teaching with me at that time, but others came. And through that Bible study, there were first the other professor that came to know the Lord, and then there was a student of mine that came to know the Lord. And I have tried to maintain contact with them over the years because, in a sense, they're my crown of rejoicing. And I have asked them, have you ever been unhappy that you heard the gospel? Have you ever been unhappy that you came to know that as a sinner, Christ died for you? And they say, no, that's never been a problem. We would never go back, and we thank you. They will tell me this. We thank you for bringing the gospel to us. Now, I don't have multitudes that have come to Christ through my work. At least they haven't told me that. But I'm glad for some that have. And so I believe that if I make disciples, and if I baptize them, and I don't always do the baptizing, but I make sure that I teach them that they need to be baptized, and then I do my best to tell them that there is a path that pleases God afterwards, and I believe that God blesses that, and he'll be with me even to the end of the age. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. We thank thee for your salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. Mailing address, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. The website is bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.